again, don't forget about our Bible school, July 7 through 10, Sunday night at 6, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 6:30. And I trust and hope you'll be praying for those services. Psalms 34. I'd like to read two verses this evening. Found in Psalms 34, verse number 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm glad what He has can go in us tonight. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. You may be seated this evening. Father, we love You. We thank You for the good grace of God. We thank You for the good day that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, for the rain this week. God, how we need You. Lord, I pray now in the teaching of the Word of God tonight, You'd help us to be a blessing. Thank You for all You've done for us. I pray that You'd let the Word of God come alive tonight and real in our hearts and spirits. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen and amen. Notice verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, in order for you to realize how good God is, you must participate. And so He says, O taste and see. You that don't put anything in the service for the Lord, you're not going to get much out of it. But we put an effort toward it. He said, I want you to put some focus on what you're doing and some effort in what you're doing. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in Him. You know, God's good at blessing those that obey Him and the Word of God. I've never known anybody that lived for God that they could not point their finger to Him and say, God, You've not been good to me, or God, You've not blessed me. But I've noticed in the Word of God there are five groups of people that God doesn't bless. Five groups of people that God doesn't bless. I want to say, first of all, God can't bless the unwilling. Now, God is good to everybody, we know that, but we're talking about the blessings, the blessed life, the enriched life by the power and the Spirit and the Word of God. And so the Bible teaches us that God cannot bless the unwilling. Matter of fact, He said, Oh, taste. Are you willing to see how good God really is? And so the unwilling. Look in 1 Samuel 15. I heard Brother Randy preach a message years ago on Saul one Wednesday night. And it was great and it touched my heart. I want to use this text this evening in 1 Samuel 15. I want you to look in verse number 1, and let's look through the Bible. I enjoy Sunday nights because we can just teach to the core of the people, and I can give my heart to you as the pastor. But certainly here, God doesn't bless the unwilling. We spoke about Him the other morning preaching on the giants of life. Here's two Bible characters that come to view. First of all, it's Samuel. He was one of the greatest prophets that God ever anointed and used. So Samuel said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people, over Israel. Now hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. You know, it is our responsibility to hearken to the words of the Lord. He said, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that when Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Watch what he says. Utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. But slay both man, woman, infant, and suckling. Ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Now that's a hard instruction. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Saul gave instructions, now in verse number 9, But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, Repentance me that I've set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, hath not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel was a great prophet, but yet it grieved him that there the king of Israel would be unwilling to follow the instructions of the Lord. We find that this came back and it bit Saul. For the Bible said in verse 17, Samuel went to Saul and he said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said unto Samuel, Yeah, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Tonight, Saul was unwilling to obey the voice of the Lord. And those in leadership tonight, whether you're in church or you're at your job or you're at your home and you're leading your family, you've got to recognize some things that Saul faced in his life. Saul faced some persecution from others. Saul faced some pressure. And he would not totally mind the Lord. A lot of people say, well, he partly obeyed the Lord. But did you know when we only have halfway of obedience, it becomes disobedience? When we simply do part of what the Lord wants us to do, and you know, you would think that God would commend him for destroying the many things that he did. And so he partially obeyed, didn't he? But yet, in God's eyes, partial obedience is disobedience. And we must always remember that as a child of God. And let me tell you something, folks. It is hard to totally obey God. It's hard to trust God when He gives us instructions and when we know that it's going against the flow of where we live and what we're doing. But here Saul, he let the pressures of the people rob him of the kingdom of God. As Brother Jake prayed tonight, and Brother Jake, I appreciate that prayer. I appreciate the older saints of God recognizing men that are still standing for the truth of the Word of God. And you know where many preachers have been led astray? They simply collapsed under the pressures of the people. There's been many times people come to me and say, Preacher, we need to start doing this. But if it don't line up in the Word of God, we ain't going to fool with it. And so you must realize in your life, as God gives you instructions, you must be willing to submit to His authority and be obedient to the Word of the Lord. So one of the people that God has not blessed in the Bible was Saul. God took that kingdom from Saul. And you know, Brother Randy, what he did, the next time God went out and He picked the most unlikely Jesse had sons. And Samuel went to anoint a new king. And we find David right before he goes on the battlefield of the giant. Saul had lost the kingdom. And Samuel goes to anoint a new king. And he came to Jesse, David's father. And he brought those sons before Samuel. And Samuel said, "Is this all that you've got?" He said, "No, I have one other back keeping the sheep." And he said, "Well, we'll not even sit down till you get him here." So he brought him back, and Samuel looked and said, "He's the one." He was very unlikely in people's eyes to lead the kingdom of God. But God chose him. And if you'll read chapter 15 and 16, something may surprise you. It says that God does not look on the out appearance, but God looks on the heart. Be careful how you sum somebody up. Because we don't know what's in their heart. You know, they may have some wrong motives. They may make some wrong moves. They may say some wrong gestures. They may say some right things. They may do some right things. But we must always remember this. God looks on the heart. And so here, God wants us to be willing. But secondly, some of those people that God cannot bless, not only the unwillingly, but I want to say secondly, the unconcerned. In Genesis chapter number 4, we see a great Bible teaching here in Genesis chapter number 4. It picks up in verse number 8 about Cain and Abel. The Bible said, "And Cain had talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" That's a good Bible question, isn't it? Am I my brother's keeper? You see here, Cain had killed his brother. We know that in the preceding chapters, God had given them an order of how to worship Him. Cain brought of the tillings of the ground, but Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. God had respect unto Abel's offering, but unto Cain He frowned upon it. Cain become mad at his brother, and he took and he slew him in the field. And God came to Cain, and He said, "Where is your brother?" And he said those powerful words, that question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" You see, God does not bless the unconcerned. In Matthew 25 and 35, it's a great New Testament teaching in Matthew 25 and 35 about unconcern. Jesus is teaching. He said in Matthew 25 and 35. He said, "For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee or thirsty and gave thee or gave you to drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." We need to share concern for others. We live in a system, we live in a culture that has a lot of concern for themselves. But God instructs His people to have concern for others. In James chapter number 2 and verse 14, Brother Lee, every time I read in the book of James, I think of you. James chapter number 2. Matter of fact, most of you could have never sat under James as your preacher. He was right to the point, didn't pull any punches. And here in James, the Bible said in chapter number 2 about unconcern, look in verse number 14. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith. If it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Here the Bible's not teaching us that we're saved by works. We know in Ephesians chapter number 2 that we're saved by grace through faith. Grace is what God done for you and I. Faith, the Bible says, is given every man a measure of faith. And man's responsibility is to access that faith toward God. God would receive him as a sinner by grace through faith. James is writing now. He says, let me tell you something. You tell me you've got faith, but you don't have works. He said, that's not adding up. Because when you have faith, works comes with faith. Can I tell you tonight, you cannot work your way to God? But this Bible, it goes on and says, even the devils, look what this is, underline it in your Bible. Verse 19, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You've heard preached in a very social gospel, just believe in God, just believe in God. Let me tell you, the devils in hell believe in God. My friend, a man's heart must turn to God by repentance and faith. Realize he's a sinner. And when you're born again, your life will change. Don't go to hell riding a church pew tonight. You must be born again. And here James is teaching. He's teaching a society. Well, you say that you're saved by faith, but you don't have any works. He said, you didn't get the goods. You better realize tonight salvation is life-changing. And I know it is a process and sanctification in our life. But friend, I'll guarantee you, when you really hit the rock and you get saved by the grace of God, you'll want to do something for the cause of Christ. So, the people God can't bless, He can't bless the unwilling. He doesn't bless the unconcerned. We ought to have concern for lost people. And you know, I commend our church when... You know, if people was to walk in Liberty and they look at how pretty the building is, you would think that, well, you know, this is a highfalutin bunch. And if there's anything I'm against, it's highfalutin bunch. You know, something I commend you, that when our church looks this nice, that when old sinners come in, you reach a hand out and welcome them. And may our hearts always stay concerned for lost people. For people that's not been blessed as much as you, can't drive what you drive, or can't dress as nice as you dress. May we stay concerned for the cause of Christ. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody. There's folks in this church, they need you for their friendship and fellowship. And so we must stay concerned for the cause of Christ. The people that God doesn't bless, the unwilling, the unconcerned. But I will say thirdly, God doesn't bless the unthankful. Look in Colossians 3 and verse 15 this evening. Colossians 3 and verse 15. The unthankful. You know, I think a lot of times we get so accustomed to His goodness it becomes routine. Can I say that again? We get so accustomed to His goodness it becomes routine. We ought to stay thankful. You know, in Colossians 3 and verse 15, you know, talking about our culture, the way it's changed, we're so blessed. Brother Jerry was teaching Wednesday night on the end times, the day of the Lord. And one thing I've noticed, the older I've got in the Lord, I came up in the old school. I was raised on a farm, raised by Grandpa plowing a mule, planted a big garden. We lived off what he raised or killed or trapped. Then I've noticed how God has started blessing a society. And now we've come to the Laodicean church age where that group of people simply said this, we have need of nothing. And when you become unneedful, you'll become ungrateful. And so we must realize, I was thinking, you know, as this rain came, it's been what, 2 or 3 weeks since we've had rain in our country? All of a sudden, God opened the heavens the last 3 days, started raining. For me and Renee left for the meeting, my front yard looked like a burnt-up hayfield. When I came back home, it was beautiful. You know, heaven makes a difference when it opens on you. And you know, in cultures days gone by at the church house, did you know when it got that dry, how many of God's people would have got around this altar begging God just for a little rain? We've been so blessed. So blessed. Don't let your blessing let you become unthankful. You see, Colossians chapter number 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We must stay thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. This is a very hard verse. I want to say a few things about it. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We would worry a lot less if we praised Him more. You see, thanksgiving and praise is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. Lord, thank you for what I've got. I wrote this down. It spoke volumes to my heart. One man simply said this, I was angry when I had no shoes. But then I met a man who had no feet. So important tonight to be thankful. Those that God does not bless, He doesn't bless the unwilling. He doesn't bless the unconcerned. He don't bless the unthankful. And then fourthly, He doesn't bless the unforgiving. Mark 11, 22 this evening. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering, Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus said that, by the way. And when you stand praying, here it is, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Unforgiving. I want to say, always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them anymore. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. Forgiveness is the economy of the heart. Forgiveness saves the expense of anger, the cost of hatred, and the waste of energy. When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future. Could I get an amen right there tonight? When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure can change the future. You will know forgiveness. Watch this, is a powerful statement. You will know forgiveness has begun when you recall those who have hurt you and you feel the power to wish them well. Forgiveness is a gift. You give yourself. I've heard people say, well, they've not apologized. Well, where's that in the teachings of Jesus that you're not to forgive even though they didn't apologize? If I held something against everybody that's ever offended me and done something to me that never asked me forgiveness, I'd be so full of bitterness tonight. I must take it on myself to set me free. When I'm angry and I have animosity and rage at somebody else that's done me wrong, I'm not hurting them. I'm hurting me. Jesus said, forgive. We can't change the past, but you can change the future. I believe with all my heart, God wants us to be a forgiving people. Lastly tonight, those people that God doesn't bless are the unwilling, the unconcerned, the unthankful, the unforgiving, but lastly, the unfaithful. I want you to look at this, Proverbs 25:19. I want everybody to underline this if you can get there tonight. Proverbs 25:19. This thing spoke volumes to me this evening, this one little verse. Proverbs 25:19. Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. We need faithful people. I tell you, people that's going to help you along life's way is faithful people. The Bible said putting confidence in an unfaithful man has no wisdom. God wants us to be faithful in His service. Look what He says here, Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7. Talking about faithfulness. teachers, you ever get tired? Miss Sherry, you ever get tired? Miss Jennifer, you ever get tired? Leaders, you ever get tired? The Bible said in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You ever notice you get what you sow? I think a lot of times we've got a lot of bonus things we didn't sow that come up in our life anyway for the goodness of God. But as a whole, what we sow comes up. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here it is in verse 9 on Do You Ever Get Tired? And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, God is so good at what He does. God has given me things that I've sowed in this life that are positive. But I don't believe that I've gotten the full reward here. I think I've got some things laid up for me yonder. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep praying for your loved ones. Stay faithful to God. Don't be weary in well-doing. So that lets me know that you can get tired of doing right all the time. But don't be weary in well-doing. For ye shall reap if ye faint not. Last verse, Hebrews 10:25. Now I'm going to make a statement. We're going home. You know why we have a generation that don't come to church? Because they've been taught that it's okay to miss church. They've been taught that it's fine, hit or miss. But you that are here tonight, you'll have to realize this. Most of us, there has been discipline in our life raising us in the house of God. And that goes a long way. We must focus on our effort to stay consistent in what we do for the Lord. Can you imagine in 30 years from now, the attendance at a Bible preaching church? This generation now teaches them one or two times a Sunday. We mark it off the bucket list. We're good. That's not what God says. God said upon the first day of the week, set it aside. Honor Him with it. It's great to go on vacation. I'm going to go on one, God willing, this summer. But we've turned our lifestyle to every weekend vacation. And we must be on our guard. Because when we're consistent at something, it helps us best. Look what the writer of Hebrews said. He said in chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. In other words, that is some people's manners, forsaking assembling. But exhorting one another. You know what that word means? Encouraging one another. And so much the more. So much the more. What? Oh yes, assembling and encouraging one another. And look, and so much the door. And Brother Jerry, here's your verse for Wednesday night teachings. As you see the day approaching. Boy, if there's a time tonight that we ought to be encouraging, it is tonight. You know, I thought about this evening, the ladies having a shower out back. Isn't that good? Showing kindness to people, young families. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing, you, that you are consistent at the church, you're raising your children, and you know what's going to happen when they get older? One or two things. They're going to follow your footsteps and that pattern you put before them. Or they're going to make a decision to go to the world. But you know something about that? You've done all you could do. Now, it doesn't matter. As long as you've done your best, that's all you can do. And when we purpose in our heart, we're going to gather together and we're going to worship God and we're going to learn about how to live right. We're going to learn about how to have power in our life to overthrow these temptations that devastate our families. We need Bible preaching. We need Bible teaching. We need fellowship with one another, with like-minded people. There's nobody here on a higher limb or a higher plane. There's nobody here can make it by themselves. We need each other. I try to be a pastor, and I believe this, and I mean it with all of my heart. I try to consider families and times, things that are going on. But folks, when we have church, we need to be at church. And I appreciate the Lord with His goodness and His mercy. Has God been good to you? You're looking at a man that's been mighty blessed. I'm looking at people that's been mighty blessed. May never forget where our blessing comes from. Thank you for